Chapter 40. A lot of the Dales farms were anonymous, and it was a help to find this one so plainly identified. Heston Grange, it said on the gate, in bold black capitals. I got out of the car and undid the latch. It was a good gate, too, and swung easily on its hinges, instead of having to be dragged round with a shoulder under the top spar. The farmhouse lay below me, massive, grey-stoned, with a pair of bow windows which some prosperous Victorian had added to the original structure. It stood on a flat green neck of land in a loop of the river, and the lushness of the grass and the quiet fertility of the surrounding fields contrasted sharply with the stark hills behind. Towering oaks and beeches sheltered the house, and a thick pine wood covered the lower slopes of the fell. I walked round the building, shouting as I always did, because some people considered it a subtle insult to go to the house and ask if the farmer was in. Good farmers are indoors only at mealtimes. But my shouts drew no reply, so I went over and knocked at the door, set deep among the weathered stones. A voice answered, "Come in." And I opened the door into a huge stone-flagged kitchen, with hams and sides of bacon hanging from hooks in the ceiling. A dark girl in a check blouse and green linen slacks was kneading dough in a bowl. She looked up and smiled. "Sorry I couldn't let you in. I've got my hands full." She held up her arms, floury white to the elbow. "Oh, that's all right. My name's Harriet. I've come to see a calf. It's lame, I understand." "Yes, we think he's broken his leg. Probably got his foot in a hole when he was running about. If you don't mind waiting a minute, I'll come with you. My father and the men are in the fields. I'm Helen Alderson, by the way." She washed and dried her arms and pulled on a pair of short Wellingtons. "Take over the bread, will you, Meg?" she said to an old woman who came through from an inner room. "I'll have to show Mr. Harriet the calf." Outside, she turned to me and laughed. "We've got a bit of a walk, I'm afraid. He's in one of the top buildings. Look, you can just see it up there." She pointed to a squat stone barn high on the fell side. I knew all about those top buildings. They were scattered all over the high country, and I got a lot of healthy exercise going round them. They were used for storing hay and other things and as shelters for the animals on the hill pastures. I looked at the girl for a few seconds. "Oh, that's all right. I don't mind. I don't mind in the least." We went over the field to a narrow bridge spanning the river, and following her across, I was struck by a thought. This new fashion of women wearing slacks might be a bit revolutionary, but there was a lot to be said for it. The path led upwards through the pine wood, and here the sunshine was broken up into islands of brightness among the dark trunks. The sound of the river grew faint, and we walked softly on a thick carpet of pine needles. It was cool in the wood, and silent, except when a bird call echoed through the trees. 10 minutes of hard walking brought us out again into the hot sun on the open moor, and the path curved steeper still round a series of rocky outcrops. I was beginning to puff, but the girl kept up a brisk pace, swinging along with easy strides. I was glad when we reached the level ground on the top and the barn came in sight again. When I opened the half door, I could see my patient in the dark interior, which was heavy with the fragrance of hay piled nearly to the roof. He looked very small and sorry for himself, with his dangling foreleg which trailed uselessly along the strawed floor as he tried to walk. "Will you hold his head while I examine him, please?" I said. The girl caught the calf expertly, one hand under its chin, the other holding an ear. As I felt my way over the leg, the little creature stood trembling, his face a picture of woe. "Well, your diagnosis was correct. Clean fracture of the radius and ulna. But there's very little displacement, so it should do well with plaster on it." I opened my bag, took out some plaster bandages, then filled a bucket with water from a nearby spring. I soaked one of the bandages and applied it to the leg, following it with a second and a third till the limb was encased in a rapidly hardening white sheath from elbow to foot. "We'll just wait a couple of minutes till it hardens, then we can let him go." I kept tapping the plaster till I was satisfied it was set like stone. "All right," I said finally. "He can go now." The girl released the head and the little animal trotted away.
Look!
She cried. He's putting his weight on it already! And doesn't he look a lot happier? I smiled. I felt I had really done something.